Let's go right into God's Word. Let's go to the book of Nahum. Nahum was a prophet, and it starts out in the heading of my New American Standard Bible, God is awesome. God is awesome. That's the heading. And it's the Oracle of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians. They regarded Nineveh as an invincible fortress. Beyond its massive walls, a system of canals, moats, outworks, and armed guards provided strong defenses. So this prophet, this Hebrew prophet, prophesies that God is greater still. And he gives a real statement that is the outline of my message that I felt God prompt me to share with you tonight. And it's in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. And it really underscores the trustworthiness of this awesome God. Nineveh is excited about how big and fortified their city is. But this prophet gets up and says, this three-point message, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. The gospel is good news. God is good. The revelation that God is a good God and the devil's a bad devil is very, very important. The devil is evil. God is good. A definition I got from the dictionary today that I thought was really amazing about good, the word good. Since the Bible says the Lord is good, I thought it would be good if we saw what good was. Good, and the definition is being positive or desirable in nature, not bad or poor. God is positive. God is desirable. God is attractive. In fact, it says in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So there's even sensory reinforcement that he is so positive. He is so desirable. He is more precious and more wonderful than anything this world has to offer. He's not bad. He's not poor. In fact, the next one is, it reinforces this. He's superior to the average. Listen, you guys, the God we serve is impossible to fully define or describe or assess. And yet Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And let me tell you, Jesus went about doing good. It emanated out of him. He was not inferior, he was superior. He was not something poor, he was actually desirable. He was not negative, he's positive. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Next definition, he is of high quality. High quality. He's not particle board with some veneer. He's the real deal. I like rosewood. Rosewood is a beautiful wood. I don't like veneer with particle board. I don't like something that's cheap, like cheap junk. Let me see your hands if you like. None of us like cheap junk. Come on, you raise your hand just to torment me. But none of us like cheap junk. I mean, we all like the idea that God can put coal under pressure and make a diamond. I'm fascinated by the idea of diamonds, that they're the hardest material on the earth, you know, and it's created out of just a chunk of coal, you know, it's a charcoal briquette under pressure. I like the idea that a pearl is an irritant that got into that shellfish and it comes out in this iridescent, beautiful deal. I like the high quality of God. The next one is right. It's worthy of respect. It's good. He's good. He's worthy of respect. You know, when you encounter real goodness, it demands respect. I've met some people that just have characteristics that make me it demands my respect. I've been in the presence of people that had a quality about them that just, Patsy and I, when we were a young couple, we met this couple that loved each other. The man was holding the door open for this lady. I felt this quality of their interaction, and it inspired me as a young married man. And in fact, both Patsy and I were inspired by their relationship. When I was overseas, I went to the American Embassy in Pretoria, and I saw a Marine standing at attention guarding the post. He just demanded my respect. Just the quality of what the guy was about. And how much more is our God worthy of respect? The next one, I love this one. One of the definitions for goodness is beautiful and attractive. We seek the Lord and we seek his face. How beautiful his face must be. when John was on Patmos, he was trying to describe Jesus. His eyes were like a fire. You know, Daniel was saying that his hair was like white wool. His train fills the temple. You guys, God is the absolute essence of beauty. Yes. He is so good. He's so good. Say the Lord is good. I got to move on, man. Here's another one. He's beneficial. When somebody's good, they're, you know, like the Good Samaritan, they benefit people. God, you know, it's beneficial. Bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits. He's good. And you get around people that are good, you'll be benefited around them. It's just beneficial to associate with them. Another one, and the next one is that he is competent. God is good at being God. He's good at it. He's good at it. You know, Kevin, God bless him. He's in heaven now, but he was competent in mechanics. He had an aptitude for mechanics. He just had a gift for it. He was so skilled at it. He just could look at a motor. He could just pop up a hood and just fix stuff. And he just had a competence. You could trust him that he could take a hold of it and he'd get it, push it through. And he had a work ethic. He'd push it through with competence until he got it done. When Patsy's dad had heart surgery down at the hospital, the nurse practitioner said, "Oh, it's really good. You have this senior doctor here. The others are okay, but this guy is fabulous. He's been at it so long. His experience is amazing." And then she found out the younger guy had the job. "Oh, well, he's really good too." So I was really hanging my hat on the competence of the senior guy. And then all of a sudden, the younger guy came in. He was arrogant. He had such an arrogance about him that I dismissed him. I said, because the family somehow, I got in this situation where I had to kind of critique the deal. And I said, "You know, you're so full of pride, we want to get another doctor." Because I asked him the question. I said, "How many of these have you done anyway this month?" That's when I said, "Well, we don't want you." And I wasn't being belligerent either. I'm just looking for competence. When somebody's going to carve into my father-in-law's chest, I want to make sure he knows what he's doing. And the next one, look at this. To be good, he is complete and thorough. Complete and thorough. God is complete, and we're complete in him. He's the fullness that fills all in all. There's nothing lacking in God. He doesn't have deficiency. He doesn't have spots that, "Oh, I got to work on that." God is thoroughly God, 100%. He's reliable. The next one is he's reliable. You could trust him. He's good. You know, they talk about my father, my mother, they weren't there for me. Well, God is an ever-present help. Yeah. Next one, he's effective. He's effective. And the next one, he is able. You got to do a study on that. God's goodness denotes ability. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask for. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless. He's ample. I like this word. He's ample. He's more than enough. That's one of his names, El Shaddai. He's more than enough. And then full. He's the fullness that fills all in all. So when you hear, taste, and see that the Lord is good, you understand that he's positive and desirable and superior and of high quality and worthy of respect and beautiful and attractive and beneficial. He's competent. He's complete and thorough. He's reliable. He's effective. He's trustworthy. He's able. He's ample. He's full. Oh, thank you, God. You're so good. When you hear the Lord is good, you got to kind of delve into it a little bit. Psalm 135:3 says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely." Sing about it. We need to sing about the goodness of God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." His goodness is not just for a moment. His goodness was not just isolated for Israel when they were in the wilderness and he provided for them. His goodness wasn't just during a manifestation of Jesus' earthly ministry. No, his goodness has permanence. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations, including ours. This inspired me to have babies because I knew he'd be good to their generation. No, we're not having any more babies. I'm not making an announcement. We're done. But keep having babies, because God will be faithful to those kids. "Well, I don't want to bring kids into this world and live." Well, bring kids into the kingdom, man. Birth them. Bring them in. God is good. Listen, you know Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. I want you to know the bread of life came down from heaven, and there is enough for everybody. God is good. He's rich in supply. The Lord is good. He's so good. He's good. Psalm 91 says, let me show you these 8 things God will do for those who love Him. How many of you love Jesus? Okay, listen. Because He has loved me, look at this. He delivers. He sets him on high. He answers prayer. He'll be there during distress. He'll rescue you from trouble. He'll honor you. Satisfy you with long life. Let you see His salvation. See, it says here, because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Why? Because he's good and his mercy endures forever. He'll rescue him and honor him. You know, listen, I got rescued. One time I was drowning in a pool. I was a young, inexperienced swimmer. I got in the deep end and I started going down to the bottom and I'd push up and I found out that my little spindly little arms and my little lung capacity gave out, and I was running out of strength, and I'm telling you, it freaked me out. I'm not exaggerating. I was in a bad situation. Even though it was a backyard pool, I wasn't finding my way to the edges. Fortunately, a teenager saw me and jumped out there and got me and pulled me. I'm telling you, I was so weakened, I couldn't have strength even to kick to the side. He had to put my arm up onto the edge of the pool. I know what it feels like to have been rescued. And then you fast forward it to when I was a teenager and somebody reached into my life and shared the gospel, the good news. In fact, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. You guys, when Nahum came and told how awesome God was, he said, hey, look, Nineveh, you think you're a big fortified city? Let me tell you, the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's a rescuer. He knows how to, he knows those who are taking refuge, and he knows how to deliver. You guys, He delivers. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. God is good at delivering people. He sets them on high. He makes my feet like hinds feet and sets me upon my high places. Did you notice how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news? Good news comes from a high place. In fact, there's so much bad news in this world. You guys, we've got to be good report, good news Christians. God is all about, man, he's calling us to embrace the good report. When I hear this, in the midst of all this prophecy from Nahum, he says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Listen, my dad was born 1 year before the stock market crashed. He went through the depression. In his own personal life, he developed cancer when he was a kid and spent his entire teenage years in and out of the hospital, 18 surgeries. A lot of people don't know it, but he had scars all over his body. You did see that his leg was about 5 inches shorter than his other leg because he lost his entire hip from cancer. So through life, he had a reoccurring dream of the world spinning him off. So he had such an adamant attitude against death that as soon as he got out of the hospital, his sister told me that he enrolled in Arthur Murray's School of Dance because they said he would never walk. He said he'd never walk again. So he said, not only will I walk, I'll dance. And then not only did, when he moved to California, he took up water skiing because he saw that the fact that he lost his hip enabled him to fit right into the slalom ski better than all of us. So he ended up having such an advantage that he became a ski instructor and learned how to shoot off those ramps and do all kinds of crazy tricks. And I grew up, at 6 years old, I learned how to water ski. I could never ski as good as my dad. He was absolutely incredible. He made his own skis and he figured out that was his sport because he missed the hip, but he refused to miss out on life. He got an understanding about, I just like that, man. I just like that guy. Miss him, man. Don't make me miss my dad. All right. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's a stronghold. You guys ever see those cowboy movies where, you know, Clem and Earl are riding their horses, their hats are up, they're missing their teeth, they got the whiskers, they're riding, and the Native Americans, they're shooting at them with arrows, and they're holding up the door, and they see it in the fort, and they open up, and the guys, and they gallop in, and the arrows hit the door, and it closes. And then they put the thing down and and they're in the fortress. The name of the Lord is a high tower. You wonder where I was going with it. The righteous run into it. And they are safe. 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 That's music to the ears of the person who stole home plate. They slide in. Safe. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortified place of survival or of refuge. It's an area dominated or occupied by a special group or distinguished by a special quality. We are in a stronghold. God has a stronghold on our life. He is a stronghold for the oppressed. The Lord, it says in Psalm 9:9, the Lord will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. There are days of trouble. There are evil days. And He is a stronghold in those days of trouble. Those days when we feel out of sorts. Those days when our emotions try to grip us. Those when our circumstances are grim. Let me tell you, when you're a person of conviction, your roots go down past your present circumstances and you hold on to the conviction that the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge. In fact, He even says, look, these are evil days. Make the most of your time, for the days are evil. Stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and realizing the end times, difficult times will come. Jesus said, hey, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is a stronghold. Psalm 31:2 says, incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly, be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. There have been times in prayer where I did not feel excited about God, nor did I sense His presence. I tried to taste and see that the Lord was good. I could neither taste nor see, but I took it on faith that He's good. He's set precedence for it all throughout the history with Israel. He was faithful to Jacob. He never changes. He's faithful to 1,000 generations. I read the Psalms about how faithful He was to David. I derive tremendous encouragement as a believer, and yet it's still, I feel like flatline, like it's miserable. However, when you're a good report person, your roots go down past the present circumstances and you reach down into something deeper, something called God's truth, God's word, God's faithfulness. And when it says He's good, you can bank on the fact that He's good. When it says He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, then it implies two things. There are days of trouble, and He will be a stronghold during those times of hardship and difficulty. I talked to a young mother today who lost one of her children, and I see the grace and the comfort and the strength that God supplies in that absolutely profoundly difficult situation. I watch her press on through it, continuing to trust God. In fact, for the healing power of God intact, refusing to let that truth be shaken out of her life because of her circumstances. God's a stronghold in her life. And her testimony is powerful. She didn't even have to say anything. She just shows up and she emanates the goodness of God and how faithful God was to bring her through. Come on, you guys. Psalm 62:2 says, He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. You have a few little trials, and the world and the shakeable things will be shaken. But we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We're on solid ground. You know what the gospel said? You build your house on the rock, it'll stand when the waves crash and all that sort of thing. You watch the life of Job, he had one protracted battle after the other. Just part of life. You look at Paul the Apostle's life. He went through some stuff. He said, I don't want to look at Paul the Apostle's life. I want to have an idealized, exaggerated, everything's easy, hunky-dory life. Well, you're not going to have that in this world because we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore, and we're not in utopia, and we're not in heaven yet. We're in a fallen world. You didn't need me to tell you that. It's just the truth. But that's why we run into the refuge and the stronghold of God. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's with us when our minds are confounded. He's with us when our circumstances do not line up. He's with us when things are disappointing. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I was interviewed on a TV program, and the subject of the flood of 93 came up, and they pre-interviewed me about it, and they wanted to talk about it, how God brought us through the trials. And the interviewer said, were you mad at God? It just took me by surprise. It became a bad interview because I flatlined. I went, what? It just went blank because no, I'm not mad at God because God is good. God's not the one I'm upset with. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the levee that didn't get built right. I'm mad at the rain. But I'm not mad at God. I can't be mad at God because the Lord is good. His stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those. He's not my problem. God is good. People have been not so good. Circumstances have not been so good. I've not stacked up in performance. You know, the circumstances haven't lined up. But God is good. The Lord is good. I'm not mad at God. I've never been mad at God. I've been disappointed with myself. I've been through a thing or two, but when it gets down to it, it's like, God, you're good. I'm not mad at you. You're good. I'm trying to sort this deal out here, but I know it's even Job said, you could do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Paul said, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And listen, you guys, that is not an over-idealized sort of little optimism little thing, you know, that, hey man, everything's great at the top, meet you at the top, fake it till you make it. No, it's biblically true. You don't have to fake it when God's the epitome of reality. We're not faking it till we make it. What a crazy idea. You don't have to fake it till you make it. God's not calling any of us to be fake. You know, I'm faking it till I make it. What? I don't like fake. I like quality, real stuff. Remember, I don't like veneer with particle board. I like the real deal. Did I already say Psalm 59:17? Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. Aren't you glad God loves you? Did you guys know nothing can separate you from the love of God? And even when you're unlovable and unlovely, don't you know that he saved you when you were ungrateful, rotten and filthy to the core with sin? And he still chose to draw near to you and reveal himself to you. Look, you guys, that's one of the things that fascinates me about God. That shows me another reason why he's good. That he would deal with all of us human beings and love us and put up with all of our betrayals and all of our funkiness. Can we talk here? How can you be mad at God when he's forgiven us of our sins? And we don't deserve forgiveness. We deserve to be burned in hell forever. And yet he's just going, hey, I love you, God. I'm going to send my son Jesus. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The reason I'm teaching this is to encourage you, but also it's to equip you with a good news message so you could carry this amazing, magnetic, wonderful, beautiful thing to a lost and dying, fallen world. We can get more people saved. He's a shield. The shields of the earth belong to our God. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright. The Bible says we hold up a shield of faith. We extinguish every fiery dart of the devil. We need to get a revelation that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. You guys, listen, the world's falling apart. I got saved in the context of my youth generation flipping out. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison all died at 27 of drugs. They were all the epitome of rock stardom, and they all dropped dead. That really freaked out the young kids. It awakened us to our mortality, and it showed us how empty that whole false hippie little thing was. It lasted about 20 minutes, and then everybody bottomed out with the substance abuse. I got saved in the context of that deterioration, that bitterness between generations, that sort of breakdown of culture. And I watched Jesus roll up his sleeves and show up strong and reap in a harvest of us young people. And listen, you guys, I got saved in that context. I know how faithful God is. I know it. You can't tell me otherwise. God is good. When I read this, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. I want to give a high five to Nahum. Say, Nahum, what's up? That's cool. I agree. He is awesome. He is awesome. I go right back into it. I do believe the Lord is good. That's what David said. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Because he's so good. You want to draw near to something good. You don't want to get around things that aren't good. You want to get away from things that are bad. You stay away from bad people. You see creepy, bad people, you go, whoa, sinister looking, shady. Whoa, you get away from, hey, what's up? Hey, you get away from them. But you see somebody that's good and trustworthy and honest, it's like, hey, I want to hang with this. You know, I want to get, and God, woo! The name of the Lord is a high tower. Sometimes you just got to run into it and just say, Jesus, Jesus, I'm trusting you on this one, Jesus. Everybody say, the Lord is good. Stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Question, how many of you have decided to really invest your life in reliance on God and his trustworthiness? You found him to be that positive, faithful friend that sticks closer than a brother. God who's a shield for us. God who said, those eight things that he'll do for those who love him, he'll deliver, he'll rescue, and so forth. And you meditate on that. You get your mind renewed on that. By it, you cast down these crazy imaginations. You start to trust God. You say, God, okay, you're the God of my bank account. I've read in the Word that you meet all of my needs. I'm just going to trust you to bring that to pass.
Yeah.
And it's a faith stretch for me right now, and maybe it's not going the way I thought it would. Maybe I'm dealing with a little bit of disappointment, but God, I'm not going to be overcome by evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to get my faith muscles strengthened. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so good. You guys, the Lord is a real stronghold when you and I trust him.
Yes,
trust that. God is good. He is a place of safety for us when we are in trouble. He is faithful to care for us when we trust him. Believe that God is willing and able to deliver us from any and all bondage. Know that he will eventually stop any attack upon us. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to every temptation and trial that we face. But his mercies never come to an end.
Right.
Now you may be in a battle. I've been in a few that lasted 5 years. I've been in some that lasted 10. I've been in some that lasted 20. So I'm not up here projecting some sort of instant thing. On the other hand, I'm also not going to advocate some idea that it's going to elude you and you're not going to get the breakthrough. I've talked to people who are in the pressure and anxiety of not knowing what to do in a business decision and cried out to God for wisdom, God in agreement, and God brought in the guidance and brought in the strength. I've seen people have people betray them, and I've watched God turn things around in a favorable situation. I've watched people have terrible, terrible symptoms. They held on to the idea and the conviction that with long life, he'll satisfy me. I've done, 700 something funerals at this point, so I've dealt a lot with death. I understand that death is inevitable, but you know what? God wants to give us long life and actually extend our days. Even Hezekiah, when Isaiah prophesied to him, hey, get your house in order, you're going to die. He turned his face to the wall and cried out to the good stronghold in the day of trouble, God. And God extended his years by 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to... Well, I know somebody died... Okay, well, where are you going to go with that? I have two. I've been with them when they died. But I'm not going to change my theology because of my circumstances. God didn't break down on his end. God's good. And I'm not trying to convey some simplistic kind of a thing where we just dismiss all the nuances of the challenges of life. But I am telling you that God... His truth eclipses and answers all these issues. At some point, we just have to humble ourselves as his creatures and say, God, you're God. And you're good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those. He knows people. Like when Janet had a terrible symptom and John drew near to God and brought wisdom to her. And other people are trying to counsel her into other direction. She got this counsel in another direction from her husband. God brought her through. I've watched God move on situations so vitally. You guys, listen. He is not favoring the person next to you and ignoring you. He loves you. He knows those who take refuge. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. It wasn't this super faith giant who's eating nails for breakfast. I'm mighty in God. No, he's like, God, you're mighty, and I need you.
Yes.
He's good.